How awkward is it to raise your prices?
Welcome to episode 65 of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I have not one, but two guests for you, and I'm talking about the brilliant Andrew and Pete. Not only are they top blokes, but they're also from my home neck of the woods, the northeast of England. So let's dive straight in as we talk about breaking catch-22s in your business. Welcome to this very special episode of the Marketing Development Podcast, where I'm not joined by just one guest. No, today we have two. We've got both Andrew and Pete, all the way from the Toon in Newcastle. Welcome to the show, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, thanks so much for having us. Hey, I feel outnumbered by Pete right now. Taking over.
Well, you know, it was always going to happen. Sooner or later, it was going to happen. So Andrew and Pete run, they do a whole host of things, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes, but they run their own consultancy business up in Newcastle. They're fellow Northerners. I'm originally from sort of that neck of the woods as well. And we've met a couple of times at some conferences. In fact, one of them was Andrew and Pete's own conference called Atomicon. So guys, do you just want to give a sort of brief intro as to who you are and what you do?
Sure thing. So basically, we are Andrew and Pete, and we have a business called Andrew and Pete. I know it's very creatively named. And we love to help entrepreneurs scale their business. What that basically means is they can earn more without necessarily doing more, which is awesome. So whether you want to, you know, get paid more for what you do, or whether you want to launch a one-to-many service, or just grow your team, then that's what we love to help people do. And we do that with our membership program called Atomic, which is for the small but mighty.
Cool. So this is going to be one of the things with this podcast. Just for everybody listening, we can't see each other, so we don't know when people are going to talk. This may or may not work really well. That's really cool. And through your business, you then also speak at events, don't you? So the first place we actually met was at Chris Ducker's Youpreneur Summit last year, where you guys were on stage. I'm basically talking around those themes, which we'll touch on in a moment.
Yeah. We love speaking. So that's another kind of the mainstream problem ball is Atomic, the program, but we do speaking. We have a few books. And yeah, just generally have a good time.
Yeah. Like we've even narrowed down like what we offer. So you mentioned there we have our own conference, Atomicon. That's absolutely right. But that is now included as a bonus to Atomic. So we are so streamlined right now. Like we're actually stopping doing speaking gigs. We're not doing any more one-to-one stuff. We're not writing any more books. We are literally just selling Atomic and focusing all our time and effort and attention on that, so we can really look after our members and make sure they have a great impact. It's all in one, Atomic and Atomicon, all in one.
So that's a really interesting point there, because I mean, you do hear all of these sort of gurus in inverted commas talking about you need to niche, depending on which side of the Atlantic they come from, down your business. And you guys, am I right in thinking that you guys used to sort of do content marketing for clients? You used to sort of run an agency level thing, or have I got that a bit wrong?
Yeah, so we used to do a lot of one-to-one consulting, a lot of content creation for people, and we kind of had a lot of strings to our bow, but we wanted to scale through the one-to-many services. So that's why we launched Atomic, our membership site. And as that kind of got going, that's when we started scaling a lot of the other stuff back and put all of our focus into that. I think that's a good activity that all of our listeners can do as well. So we started doing this maybe about 6 to 12 months ago. We had a real good look at our business, and we looked at all the different income streams, and we looked at all the different ways we were making money. And if we almost extrapolated that out and said to ourselves, right, what has the most potential, which was Atomic, versus like what we actually spend our time on, which is a lot of all this like one-to-one stuff. We're going to write another book. We're doing all this other stuff. And it's like, why are we spreading ourselves so thin across all these different income streams, where Atomic is almost like the diamond one for us? That's the one that can make us the most money going forward if we put all of our efforts into that. So that's a lot of what we teach in Atomic as well. Like, a lot of people will tell you to do a lot of stuff. And I think as entrepreneurs trying to grow our business, we're constantly listening to more podcasts, we're constantly reading more blogs, watching more videos, learning how to do all this stuff. And kind of something that we rally against is don't try to do everything, because you end up doing everything averagely.
Yeah.
We're a lot more about, okay, less is more when it comes to creating content. Like, don't try to be everywhere. Try to just do one thing remarkably well. But even taking that down to a business level, like, don't try to be everything to everyone. Like, maybe when you start out and you don't quite know where you're going yet, that's maybe a good idea. But as soon as like the ball is rolling, as it got rolling with us, we started getting a lot more strategic in, okay, what is actually making us money? What has the potential to make us more money? Let's just cut things. Yeah. Even if our one-to-one work was making us money. So it's a hard thing to do. It's almost like cutting your arm off. Like, we were just cutting off an income stream, doing the one-to-one stuff. But it was just taking up so much time, right? And I think that is something that none of us have an unlimited amount of. Like, when we're speaking to our members, whenever we speak to solopreneurs, they all complain of the lack of time they have to do everything.
Yeah.
And I think we can all make more time by just stopping doing a lot of this stuff that's not as important.
Like, for example, right now, like, you're listening to this podcast, and I bet you have certain one-to-one services that you offer. Mm-hmm. I bet you have probably a book that you really want to write. Everyone has a book that they really want to write. Everyone's probably trying to launch a course of some kind or a membership site, or that's on the back burner because they don't have time for it. And you also want to do some more affiliate stuff because that's cool, right? That's, you know, recurring income, right? Passive income, people want that. And then they've maybe got speaking gigs. Oh, yeah, speaking gigs. Everyone wants to be on stage doing speaking gigs, right? But then all of a sudden, right, you start to just think about this for a second. And all these things take up so much time, and yet only a few of those things make the most amount of income for your business. And depending on where you are at in your business, we call this the scalability tipping point. People really don't need to be focusing on all this other stuff. Like, for example, if you don't have a huge audience right now, focusing on that online course isn't going to do anything for your business, because when you launch it, like, it's not going to sell that much.
Yeah.
If you can only get like 100 people to click on your links to watch your videos, like, you're not going to get 100 people to buy your product, because it just ain't going to happen. You need a bigger email list.
Mm.
So rather than actually focus on growing that email list, you start to write the course. And if they're focusing on the course and the email list, then they usually don't have enough time for it because they're too busy on the client work. And so they get stuck, they get trapped. And that's something that we'd love to talk today about in this podcast, about how people can get out of this trap.
Cool. Now, firstly, I thought for one second you guys were going to fall out the tree, because some of the stuff you just said sounded like me, to be honest. Anyway, we'll park that for now. This isn't a counseling session. But just to build on what you said, I think one of the first things that people do when they start their own business is they don't value their time enough. It's almost like they you know, you don't want to lose any work, so you promise everything to everybody, and then you kind of, you don't value the time that you're going to put in or your own experience. So therefore you don't kind of think of it in that way. It doesn't matter if something takes you 3 days instead of 20 minutes. It's well, I'm doing it to serve my clients, and your clients become the sort of top of the tree. But actually what you guys have been through then is a process of saying, you know what, we do value our time. Time is finite. And not only do we only want to work with our time, but we want to spend it with our family. We want to go on holiday. We want to do all this stuff. And all of a sudden we want to build a business that serves us rather than us serving a business. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's exactly what's right. And one thing that's a real bugbear with us is the whole hustle mentality within like the entrepreneurship circles. And I feel like we get stuck in that, okay, I got to hustle. I got to work harder and harder and harder, because we don't have the time, because we haven't given ourselves the structure that we need to actually make time for us. So, and you can be as productive as you want. So you can read every single like time management book. But at the end of the day, if you are not charging your clients enough, and therefore they are taking up all your time because you need to do so much work because you need to pay the bills, then you're always going to be stuck in that loop.
Yeah, so let's say that, right? Most people say they don't have enough time, and probably they don't have enough money either, right? But let's stay with that one first time, right? Got no time for marketing. If you want to launch something scalable, you need to grow your email list, right? If you want more clients, you need to market yourself. So you need more time. You need to put the effort in to marketing your business. So the obvious solution straight away to that, right, is to outsource. If you start outsourcing more stuff, you free up more time. Like, we've got a team of like 9 people that work with us every single week and doing stuff for us every single week to help us get our content out there and the sales and look after our clients. But what most people say is, oh, I can't quite afford to outsource. I don't know where to start. It's difficult. What if I lose control? It's tough to let go, right? So then they're stuck a little bit there. Okay, they can't outsource. So what we say to them is, if you're so busy with client work that you don't have enough time for marketing and you can't afford to outsource, then clearly you're not charging enough. Clearly, yeah. Right? So if you were to raise your prices, you could potentially work less and still make the same amount of money, or you could afford to outsource, okay, and help save time in other areas. Perfect. However, how awkward is it to raise your prices? And how scary is it to raise your prices? Like, literally, if you're listening to this podcast now, imagine picking up the phone, talking to that retainer client that you have and say, hey, I'm doubling the price. See ya. Like, that is one awkward conversation, and no one wants to do that, right? We get it. We understand it. And, you know, what if you put up your prices and no one else buys? Or what if someone, like, loses, like, you lose a client because you put it up?
Yep.
That's tough. So people don't want to do that. So instead, if you want more time, like, you just have to fire some clients. Right? That's the only other alternative. Fire some clients.
And get better ones.
And get better ones.
Can't pay you more.
But no. Why don't you do that?
Because you've got no time for marketing.
So if you've got no time for marketing, you should just outsource. But I can't afford to outsource. So
you should raise your prices.
You should raise your prices, but I can't raise my prices. I'm too scared.
So you should get better clients.
You should get better clients, but I can't do that because I have no time for marketing. And it goes round and round and round and round in a loop.
I was just about to go make a couple there, guys, because you were just, you know, you were on a roll. It was great.
Yeah, it's all right. We've replaced Pete with another Pete, so yeah.
Which Pete? No, you do make a really good point. And I think the thing is that business owners, particularly solopreneurs that potentially haven't done this before, they get into this cycle without really thinking about it. And before they know it, that they're into this sort of hamster wheel that they can't get off. Yeah. And that's where, you know, what you guys are saying through Atomicon, what you're talking about now, is so important that people realize that there is a way out of this. And that's what you guys are going to tell us about.
Yeah. So it's a catch-22. And I think if you are stuck at any point of your business, then you are probably stuck in a catch-22. And we like catch ourselves in these all the time. So if we're ever like hitting our heads against the wall, it's probably a catch-22 that we're stuck in. And we try to draw out the one that we're stuck in.
Yeah,
and what we found is that to actually break the catch-22, it's hard, right?
Yep.
It's scary. So that one that we kind of mapped out before, we can either raise our prices, we can either outsource, or we can fire a client and get better ones. All of those things are scary, right? All of those things are really scary to do. But the necessary, like one of those things is going to be necessary to your business kind of growing. So what we say is, rather than kind of stick your head in the sand and just stay in the hamster loop, we have to actually recognize those fears and follow those fears. Yeah?
Yep, got you.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I thought you were going to say something else. Yeah. Yeah, so you've got to find the fear and then follow the fear. So,
yes.
And that, I suppose, for some people may be different things depending on the way that they've set their business up. So that fear could be in one of any of those three areas, for example, that we were talking about before.
Yes.
And it's not just that one loop. There's lots of different ones. And what we find is the things that have the biggest impact in your business are often the hardest, toughest, and, you know, scariest thing to do. Because we don't necessarily like the word scary. It sounds a bit fluffy, but if you think about it in terms of unknown, right? Because everything that you do in business, if it's new, it's unknown. There's a risk to it. You don't know how exactly it's going to pan out. And that's why people often procrastinate. And they don't do the things that are actually going to have the most impact on their business. Let's say, for example, a sales call. Everyone listening to this podcast right now has one person, at least, at very minimum, one person that they could call and close a sale with right now. Everyone has that person. However, the reason why you're not doing it is because it's scary. Like, no one wants to call up someone and have that, like, potential of being rejected on the phone. Like, it's tough. I'll do it tomorrow, okay? And the thing is, tomorrow never comes. So we need to follow these fears. Like, Facebook Live, right? If you want to do a Facebook Live, people don't do Facebook Lives because they don't really know what to say on camera. Why do they not know what to say on camera? Because they've never done it before. Like, it's awkward for them. It's another catch-22. Mm-hmm. And there's all these catch-22s going on all the time. And so there's a few things that you can do to actually break the catch-22. So we'd love to go into that.
Yeah, let's do it. Go for it.
All right. So the first thing you need to do is to actually get a little bit of encouragement that you can do this. So if it's, let's say, calling someone on the phone, I don't like calling people on the phone, but if I'm there and I know I need to do it, and Andrew goes, go on, Pete, you can do it. You're like, you're really good at this. And, you know, we've got a really good product here. You're going to love it. So, you know, what's the worst that could happen? That is good encouragement for me, right? It helps me to do it.
Yep.
And this is why communities are so important for business owners. So you always need somebody around you to give you that encouragement, positive people that have been there, done that, and can tell you it's going to be okay, which is why we value our community so much in Atomic.
It's kind of like the old cliche goes, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with, which I think is a little bit cheesy and a bit overused, but it's completely true. I think a lot of people start out by themselves on this journey. And they maybe have a local community, or they maybe like fall into a community. It might not necessarily be the right one for you. I think when we got started, we weren't in the right communities. We weren't like surrounding ourselves with the right kind of business people that were pushing us forward.
Yeah.
And the more we've kind of pushed ourselves out of our comfort zones into bigger communities, surround ourselves with people that have been there and done that before us.
Yeah.
Like, we get a lot more encouragement from that.
Yeah, which is awesome. And another point to the encouragement thing is encouragement can come from other people, like in communities or mentors or masterminds, but it could also come from demand. And here's a really important point. The ability to sell our services confidently comes as a direct result of confidence. And the confidence in actually selling something comes a lot of the time from demand, right? If we can prove the demand of something, then we can prove, like, we can gain a lot of confidence in that.
Mm-hmm.
So when people start to think about their online courses, what they'll tend to do is they'll come up with an idea that they think will be good. They'll then create it. And now what they'll also do at that point, right, they'll either procrastinate and never finish that online course.
Yep.
Because they've never got the demand for it. Like, no one's actually said, hey, this would be a great idea. I'm willing to spend a lot of money on that. Or they'll launch it. They won't get anyone buying it, or a minimum amount of people buying it. And they'll just plow on with the head in the sand and try and sell this course. And we don't want anyone to do that. And that's come from a lack of demand, a lack of confidence, and a lack of encouragement. I know that when we first started launching online courses and memberships, we weren't 100% confident in what we were selling, and thus we didn't sell it very well. If you have a product or service, and we've seen this 1,000 times over, that you are confident in, because you've seen the demand, people really want it, you are going to sell it much better. You're going to actually put yourself out there. When people crush you at networking events, you're going to tell them about it. People comment on your Facebook statuses, you go, you would be perfect for my online course, you should join. But if you don't have the confidence, then you're not going to do that kind of stuff. So that is a really, really important step to start out.
Absolutely. And you know what, I can just to add to that, the number of people that I've spoken to that said, oh, I've got XYZ idea, and I've had some messages from people and they think it's a good idea too. The only way to validate your idea is to get somebody to put their hand in their pocket and actually give you money. The promise of giving you money is worthless. Actual money has value.
Almost worthless. Yeah.
almost worthless. Absolutely. Right.
But it's tough to do, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But it's so important.
Definitely.
So, level two. Yeah?
Yep. Number two. Let's go for it.
Okay, so that's first level.
Yeah. So level two, like Pete said earlier, a lot of it is the fear of the unknown. Right? We don't actually know what's going to happen. If we put up our price, what is actually going to happen? So what we like to try to do is what we call consequence forecasting, right? So we'll look at all the unknowns that we've got, and we will actually map out the different scenarios. Now, this can be financial, so we do love a good spreadsheet with all of our numbers on it. So before we like pulled the plug on all of those income streams that we had, we actually did run them through our cash flow forecast. We said, right, if we get rid of A, B, and C income stream, but that allows us to take Atomic and put a lot more effort into that and like double Atomic over the next 12 months or triple it. Like, what does that actually look like? Does that actually give us more money at the end of that 12 months than it would if we just stayed on the same path we're on with all of these different income streams? Mm-hmm. So we get a lot of confidence from actually mapping out the consequences. Another kind of part of that is actually going through different scenarios that would happen. So if, for example, if you need to call up a client and say the price needs to go up a little bit, you could start thinking about, okay, what are the different things the client could say to that, and almost prep yourself for it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think once you figure out those unknowns, once you uncover them, go through them, even do like a trial run with a friend, you can start to see that it's not as scary. And obviously, the more you do, the better, because the more proof you have of how it's going to go, so you can see what the future calls or future ideas are going to be more like.
And that almost takes us on to the third step, is actually doing a proof of concept. So you will never be like 100% confident in following a fear unless you've actually seen it happen, right? So we're not saying, we keep on jumping back to this, putting the price up. So if you've got like 5 clients and you feel like you're not charging any of them enough, like, we're not saying call every single one of them today and put the price up. Like, pick one of them. Like, do a mini kind of proof of concept test.
Pick the nicest one.
Yeah. Or the one that you wouldn't, maybe the worst one, you wouldn't mind losing. I don't know. Pick the one that makes sense and do a little proof of concept test.
Yes.
A lot of people have had great successes in doing just mini proof of concept tests before they do anything new. So especially if something's going to take a lot of effort, if anything's going to take a lot of effort, then don't just do it on a whim and kind of hope for the best. Try to prove the idea to you before you go in and do it.
Yeah. And I think this goes, you know, back to level two a little bit with the consequence forecasts. If you were to actually lose a client because you tried to raise the price, you can do some forecasts as to what that looks like if it all goes well. But look at what it looks like if it goes bad. Like, if you lose that client, what would happen? Like, would you be out on the streets? Would you survive? Like, what would happen? We know someone who did this, and they had a team of 10 people, and they had all these clients. They were a marketing agency. And basically, they said to themselves, look, like, we're working our asses off for these clients. They don't respect us. We're charging too little. What would happen if we just fired them all? Bear in mind, they had like 10 people to pay for at this point. And they figured out that with a consequence forecast, they could survive for 3 months without any new clients if they just fired all their clients.
Right.
Now, to you or I, at first glance, that might seem like stupidly scary to just fire all your clients.
I'm just stupid.
Yeah, that's a big risk. But doing the forecast allowed them to see that they'd be okay for a little bit. So they did it. They fired all the clients. And within a month, because they had so much time, they could actually annihilate their like marketing to-do list. And within a month, they had less clients paying them more than all of the other clients combined previously, within a month.
There you go. So, right? So just to get it right, the business advice from Andrew, Pete, and Pete is to go and fire all your clients right now. But it is to, you know, take a good look at what you want to achieve. Take a look at the in this example, the finances that go around it. Do some forecasting and then maybe pick either the client that you like the most, or the one that you like the least, or the one. The way I do it is I'd pick the one that has the smallest increase, so that I'm asking for the sort of least amount of increase in the call, and then take it from there and then roll it out. Don't be a nutter and fire all your clients.
Yes. Unless you've got like all of your clients are terrible. I feel like everyone's probably got the one awful, awful client that takes up way too much time that they're probably better off without.
Yeah.
But like they like that buffer of money.
Mm-hmm.
So like we like to say, okay, well, what could you do with that time? Like how quickly could you make back that money if you had all the time that client was costing you?
Exactly. And I think it comes down to like simple decision making at the end of the day, right? All of these things are like, they sound stupid at first glance, but that's making a decision based on emotion rather than actual logic.
Yeah.
So if you were to actually fire one of your clients, and we're not saying you have to fire your clients, all right? You either need to fire them, outsource, or raise your prices, or all three.
Yeah.
That's just one catch 22 anyway.
I don't know if you can raise your prices and fire them.
Well,
I don't know.
Or, yeah. Or. but the point is, a lot of people won't make these decisions because it's based on their gut. I don't think I can outsource. I don't think I can survive if I lost the client. I don't think my client will pay me more money. All of these things are based on gut feelings.
Yeah.
Whereas if we, you know, map out the consequence forecast, we do proof of concept, we get the encouragement, we can make these decisions without having been held back by our emotion. And that'll help us to go forward and actually grow our business to a stage where we do have time to invest in marketing, to where we do have time to actually grow our email list because we're creating amazing content, because we have time to create amazing content. And eventually you'll be able to launch your online product and you'll have loads and loads of people ready to buy it straight away, and you can retire on a beach and live happily ever after.
I feel like you need to sense the sarcasm in that quote.
But you get the idea.
Yeah, there's no beaches in your castle.
Yeah.
There is.
This is a little bit sand on the quayside, Pete.
All right then. All right. I can see you down there and your budgie smugglers. That's a really great kind of. So I think the key takeaway from that is not just the process, but actually that the big problems that you are identifying, I know we keep on going back to market, outsource, raise your prices, but it could be social media, live video. It could be a whole load of things.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what you've done is you've, rather than taking on a big topic like, oh my God, all of my marketing needs attention. What you've done is you've provided a framework to take the emotion out of it and say, right, from a brass tacks point of view, find yourself 45 minutes, find yourself an hour, go through this mentality, figure out what it is, maybe get yourself a bit of support from a friend or you know, a family member or somebody to do a sort of trial run, and then do a proof of concept. So all of a sudden we're not talking about, all marketing. We're talking about, right, I need to make this one phone call. How do I go about doing it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know the old phrase, buying decisions are 80% emotion and 20% logic?
Yeah.
Like, that's why we have so much stuff in our houses that we don't really need, yeah? And I think that's why we have a ton of stuff in our business that we don't really need either. So we try to flip that. It's like, yes, we're not saying ignore your gut. I think sometimes like listening to your gut and knowing what's the right decision for you, for your business, is a great skill to have. But we're trying to put more and more logic in rather than just making decisions based on either being, because the flip side of being scared and not doing anything is a lot of people try to do everything really fast. Yeah, they'll like make every decision because they want to launch that Facebook Live show. So they're going to launch that Facebook Live show. They're going to have the idea on Monday. First episode's going to be out by Wednesday. It's going to flop by Friday. And then they're just going to be stuck in this circle of doing these Facebook Lives.
Well, and they're going to sound like Craig David.
Yeah. I feel like there's a Scoop video.
Delicious, I'm a man. That's good.
Yeah, so remove the emotion and a bit more logic.
Yes.
Brill, cool. That sounds like that's going to be the title for this episode. I think that works really well.
There we go.
So you guys are running Atomicon next year. So do you want to give us a quick kind of overview as to what's happening with that and where people can find more information?
Yes. So Atomicon is our event that we're running as part of Atomic. So when you join and become a member of Atomic, you get access to Atomicon for free. And Atomicon is an event because we love online relationships. Like a lot of our relationships are made online, but there's just nothing like coming together with people you've already met and just having a great time, just getting inspired, getting those encouragement from people in the room. So Atomicon is happening next April at the Sage in Gateshead, Newcastle Gateshead, which is just like the best venue ever.
It's going to be cool.
Awesome. We've got amazing speakers lined up. We've got Drew Davis, who was like the best keynote speaker we've ever seen. Bar none, he'll blow you away. Mm-hmm. We've got Mario Smith, we've got Brian Fanzo, we've got Andy Crestedina, Janet Murray, Gavin Bell, the membership guys, tons of amazing speakers. It's one day of inspiration and action, and you get it when you become a member of Atomic.
Yeah.
Sweet. So actually, the way into this is through becoming a member of Atomic.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. And that's just andrewandpete.com/Atomic. Yeah. And it'll give you everything you need to help you start making smarter decisions, not based on emotion, but based on logic and data.
Yeah.
And it's going to help you to focus so that you're not doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
And you can actually make more of an impact on your business. And so you can start making more money without having to actually do as much.
Yeah. And here's why, because we can go to events and we can get inspired for a day, but like we want Atomic to like change people's business. Like we want it to change people's businesses, and we're not convinced that you can do that by going to one event, right? So, and it's in April next year, so we don't want you to have to wait till April next year. Like we want to start now.
Yes.
We almost want to get you ready for the event. Like the event's going to blow your mind, but you need to be prepared for it. That's how we're twisting this.
Yeah. It's like, it's one of those things, like we've seen people, like they go to event after event, like what they need is a continuous program, and that's what Atomic provides. It's that one program to get them from where they are now to a place where they can actually scale the business and start making a lot more money and feel a lot happier and be freer.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point.
And if you've got any questions about that, guys, then just message us on anything. Drop us an email, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. Yeah. Like, we want to talk to people.
Yeah.
So if people need to talk to us before they join, then feel free to drop us a line.
Yeah, we really want to help. So we appreciate you listening to this podcast, and if there's anything we can do, please do let us know.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time, guys. All links to everything you've just said. I've been trying to keep up with them, but I'll have to do it in the edit. all links to all of that stuff will be in the show notes, and the show notes will be linked in the intro and outro. So go there, find out, really do, you know, don't worry about sending these guys a message, because actually that's how I got them on the podcast. I just dropped up a message one day and said, hey guys, I've got a show. Come on. So yeah, they, and look, here they are. They didn't say no. So thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate that. I can't wait for Atomic. I've got my ticket already. Hopefully I'll see you before then, but who knows? So,
thanks so much for listening, guys, and thanks for having us,
Pete. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. Andrew and Pete really are top blokes. And I'd like to know, do you have catch-22s in your business? If so, come and jump into our Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group and let us know. We have a great community of people that love to support each other. So if you've got any questions, you can just drop them in there, and you know that it is a safe environment to get some sound advice. We hope to see you on the next show.